Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. It's such an honor and a privilege to be able to come before you, to come and share your word, to fellowship with you in your word, by your spirit, and with one another. As we go into the word this morning, we humble ourselves again under your mighty hand. We pray for a fresh outpouring, a fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I further pray that you will put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here physically, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word, Father, will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings mentioned in that prayer, receive it individually by saying, hallelujah. Amen means so be it, is a prayer of agreement. And when you say it with faith, that's exactly what you get. You will have what you say. So everybody who is in agreement with all those blessings and are receiving them in their lives, agreed with me individually and said, good. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse 21, where Paul was talking about his ministry and assignment. And I spent quite a bit of time on this. I'll just reiterate very briefly and then we'll move on. It says, as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. And I explained that every single one of us as Christians is called to the same commission. You know, we often think that, oh, this is just for the missionaries, or just for some special people, you know, who are specially called like Paul. No, every Christian is called to be a part of a big assignment, which is twofold. Number one, to preach and demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom to every ethnos, to every tribe, tongue, and kindred upon the earth. And in doing that, to make disciples in each of those ethnoses, in each of those tribes, so that those people will now become a witness to their own people. The Bible, the Lord Jesus tells us clearly, without contradiction, that it is only when that is done that the end will come. And let's quickly review those two scriptures. I'd like us to go to Matthew chapter 24. Well, I mentioned them in my last lesson, but I don't think I actually went there. But today, since I'm just summarizing, and look at verse 14. It's an amazing scripture. You know, Jesus is talking about the end time and all the things that are going to happen, the pestilences, the farming and war. And we're in all of that now. We can see that every day. You know, all those things are no longer news. You know, you put on the television every day, there's one earthquake or the other one just happened, I think, I can't remember where now, you know, just yesterday or so, you know, and then there's always one famine or the other. The pestilence is here, the COVID-19, you know. So, you know, we're not entering the end time, we're in it. It's just unfolding, you know. And then the Lord Jesus now said that, you know, there'll be all kinds of things. I don't want to get off into all of that so I can stay focused on my point. You know, there's going to be a manifestation of the sons of God. That's the next thing we expect, because that glory of God through the church, a church that has grown. See, the church is growing, and thank God for the growth we've had, but that growth must reach a focal point. It must reach a target. And that target is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 4, which we often quote, it says, you know, we shall grow up into him in all things. I like that scripture because it doesn't give us any wiggle room for our unbelief. all things is all things. It doesn't, you know. So it means that everything we see in the life and ministry of Jesus as recorded in the four Gospels, we should see it demonstrated in our own lives too. And we haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen that. We haven't seen us, you know, turn water to wine, walk on water, you know, heal the sick instantly. We've healed the sick, but many times not instant. You know, cleanse lepers instantly. You know, raise the dead instantly. You know, we've done all that has happened in the church, but most of the time it's not instant. Then, or again, it's not consistent. You know, it might happen once, it might not happen again for 5 years. You know, it might happen again, you know. And the reason for that is that it's actually happening by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, either special faith or gifts of healings, workings of miracles. But God doesn't give it to us permanently. He just then takes it back. Why? We're not grown up enough to be able to handle it on a permanent basis, you know. But when, as a church grows into this perfection of fullness of Christ, then God can then entrust us with that spirit without measure on a permanent basis. That will now trigger a universal persecution. We already have persecution, but it's not universal. But it is going to get universal when that happens, when that occurs, because of, you know, opposition, because Satan will raise opposition, and because we'll also bring a lot of discipline to the leaders of the world. You know, we're praying on October 1 for Nigeria, and my prayer has been focused and will continue to be focused until I get the manifestation, you know, on the removal of bad leaders and the enthronement of good leaders. Now, when those things begin to happen, and not only in Nigeria, but happen all over the world, then they'll take notice of the church, then they will persecute us. So in the midst of all of that, we will overcome persecution. And then Jesus said, we still have a lot of things that are going to happen. Manifestations of the God, universal persecution, overcome it. Then, this chapter, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom, I didn't hear you. Not any other one, this one. He's very specific. Shall be preached in all the world for a what? Witness unto some nations. Then shall the end come. That's what we call the rapture. Jesus is not coming until this has been achieved. You know, and all of us have a part in this commission. It's not just for Paul or Peter or James or John or Pastor Lupi or Pastor Buega or Mommy Sarah. It's for everybody. And this is a truth that has not yet been emphasized. You know, in some cases, it's not even been mentioned at all. And where it has been mentioned, it's probably been mentioned tangentially or glancingly. But this is a basic truth. Then we go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. This is what we call the Great Commission. The two of them actually go together. Jesus came and spake on them this after he had been raised from the dead. They had seen him. He had taught them for 40 days. He was finally going back to heaven permanently. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto... I didn't hear you. He said some power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And I pointed out last week, this is not just some power. He's talking about spirit without measure. Now, it's been given to him, but he has not released all that power to us yet. Because we haven't grown up yet to that degree. Some of it has been released, but not all of it has been released. Now, all of it is available to us legally. So, you know, but we have not fulfilled the conditions we ought to receive all of it. Go ye therefore. You see, you cannot go if you don't get all power. Or rather, you should not go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, that's disciples, you know, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, go and make disciples in every tongue, tribe, or kindred of people who will do everything. And everything is really love. It says all the commandments summarized even in this one word. So we have to teach disciples in every nation how to perfect the love of God in their lives. And he says, I'm with you all the way unto the end of the world. Now, all of us have a part in this. Every single person. Not just the missionaries. Now, the point I made last week, which I would like to reemphasize here, in summary, is that people have often confused, and I brought this out a few weeks ago, you know, your profession with your calling. They're not the same thing. Your calling, we all have one calling, to be conformed to the image of Jesus, Romans 8:29. But we all have different professions. And I use the example of Jesus. Jesus' profession was a carpenter, but that's not his calling. And he did it. He did it very well. You know, for I don't know how many years, from the age of 12, 18 years. You know, because usually at the Jew, that's what we call the Jews call adoption. Adoption is not like the way we think in natural, where you go and adopt a little baby and bring them into your family. That's not what he's talking about in Galatians. You know, a Jewish boy is adopted. He's drafted into the family business when he gets up at the age of 12. So Jesus did the same thing. You know, his dad, his stepfather, Joseph, was a carpenter. You know, if you go further deep, you find that there was not just a carpenter of wood, but it was a stonemason. They used to cut stones, which they used for building houses. And Jesus was very good at it. You know, anyway, but that was his profession. That was not his calling. His call to, you know, because Son of God, and to die for the sins of the world and be raised again from the dead and become our Savior. Now, he performed his profession, but he did not allow that to distract him from his calling. Today, we have a very terrible situation on the earth amongst Christians. Many people think their profession is their calling. So they divert all their energy to, you know, whatever it is that they do. And you know what? You know, this is the cop-out they tell us. They say, well, you know, what you just do is your gift to the gospel. So, you know, if you're a doctor or you're an engineer or you're a lawyer or whatever you are, you come to church, you pray, you read your Bible, you pay your tithes, then you take off the money you make and then you give it for the, let the missionaries go. But you don't go. It's not true. Correction. It's not complete. The correct thing is this. Yes, even the missionaries are supposed to pay their tithes. Amen. All of us, even we the pastors, pay tithes. The Bible talks about that in Nehemiah. Talk about the tithe of the tithes. And go and check in Numbers and, you know, where we get all the Old Testament shadows from. Even the high priest. Everybody pays tithes. We all tithe upward, so to speak. You know, the priests pay tithes to the high priest and so on and so forth. So everybody is supposed, so it can't be that it's only the people, professionals, who pay tithes and then the missionaries will not take tithes and go. No, all of us are supposed to go. Now, the job is so big that there is no way any one man or any one church or any one group can complete this job. That's why we need this universal outpouring of the Spirit without measure. We've had and we're still having, as I speak, an outpouring of the Spirit with measure. What the Bible calls the former rain. We've had that and we're still having it. People are getting born again and full of the Holy Spirit every day. But we have not yet had an outpouring of the Spirit without measure the same way it was when Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, and where the early church had what I call the borrowed anointing from the Lord Jesus Christ, which lasted about 100 years. And that's why a lot of church theologians will tell you that, oh, the day of miracles are over, because we don't see the kind of miracles we saw in the first century church in this modern church. We don't see it on that consistent basis, you know. So, but the fact of the matter is this. There's an outpouring, a second outpouring that is coming. That's what we call the Spirit without measure, you know, the manifestation of sons of God, that will now come to the church. But it will come on everybody, but not everybody will be able to receive it, because it's not going to be a gift like the first one. It's going to be a reward for walking with God. You have to walk with God. Even for the borrowed anointing, you have to have walked with God to some degree. Now, all those who are able to receive it, once you get it, and it will come with these manifestations, instant healing of the sick, and underline the word instant, and it will be on a consistent basis, instant cleansing of lepers, instant raising of the dead, instant casting out of devils. That's on the physical side, what we call physical miracles. There are also going to be intellectual miracles, political miracles, economic miracles, environmental miracles. Let's put that one aside for the meantime. Let's just even just concentrate on the physical miracles. Now, with these physical miracles that are going to come by the Spirit without measure, people who have inherited that, every single one of them has a part in this assignment to go and take the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and creed. No. No one person can go to everywhere. So, but there will be places God will lead you to. You see, we see the pattern using Paul. Paul was a pattern disciple. So he's an excellent pattern. Paul, by profession, was a lawyer, and he was also a tent maker. It's interesting that Paul did not give up his profession to fulfill his calling. He still fulfilled his profession and still fulfilled his calling. You know, two amens, one from Pastor Quigga and one from Pastor Wally, and all the others are just looking at me funny. Praise the Lord. You woke up. Amen. Everybody, don't your neighbor say, we are all called to go. And you will go. If you are in this church, you are going to go. The reason why I've not pushed you out yet is because you have been inherited. Once you inherit the anointing, whether it's borrowed or full, you're going. Now, if we use Paul as the pattern, you see that Paul and Barnabas and some other guys, they were in the church at Antioch. And they prayed and they were waiting on the Lord. Then the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work in which I have called them. Then they went to some of the giants. They didn't go everywhere at first. And even later on, they couldn't go everywhere. It's not physically possible for one person to go everywhere. They went to the places God sent them to. In fact, there was a time they wanted to go to Asia, and the Holy Ghost didn't allow them. And then they had a vision of a man of Macedonia. Then they went to Macedonia. Same thing is going to be with us. You know, each of us is going to be led, you know, instructed. And that's why we need that Spirit without measure, where we get the wisdom of God and all of that. So it will not be too difficult to find out where God wants you to go, where God wants me to go at different points in time. We're going to go to different places, but at a particular point in time, we say, this is the place to go. At another point in time, we say, no, you've done that one for 6 months, now go here. And I shared my vision. When I say my vision, it's not really mine, it's God's, but given to me to, you know, that the New Testament 21st century church is going to be a missionary church. Everybody's a missionary. Now, at different levels, some of us will go over a weekend, you know, because people have to start where they can handle it. So that says, we looked at this last week, it's going to be Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's in stages, but all of us are going to be involved. So all of us will start in this, our Jerusalem, so to speak. So maybe it's Aedade you will go, or some other village, you know, that is close here. You just, you know, you might go on Friday and come back on Saturday or Sunday just for a day, you know. And when you get there, you heal the sick, you cleanse the lepers, you raise the dead. Okay, so once you've done that, you know, you've got your feet wet, so to speak. Next time, it will not be Jerusalem. It will be Judea. So it might send you to Imo State, or you can go to Anambra State, or you can go to Sokoto or somewhere. You know, God will lead. That one now, you may not go for one day. You might go for a week or 2 weeks, you know. Then after that, you know, when I expand it, then you now go to, you know, places like Benin Republic or Togo or you know, Kenya or wherever. You see, it's God who's going to lead us. You know, Mozambique or wherever. You know, and then that one you might not go for 2 weeks. You might go for a month. Still the same thing you're doing. You know, healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, teaching. All of you will be teaching. You'll be teaching so that you can make disciples. Then when you've done that, then you've, you know, covered that, then uttermost parts of the earth. Then we'll start sending you to Afghanistan and Pakistan and Russia and China. Amen. All of us will go. at all these different levels, there's nobody who will not go. Some will go to more places than others, depending on your growth, depending on your level of growth and development and your commitment and your faithfulness and all that. But everybody is called to be, it's a big assignment. No one church, no one individual can cover this assignment. But as each of us plays our own part and does what we're supposed to do, then this commission will be fulfilled. Where, you know, this gospel of the kingdom will then be preached unto all nations for a witness. And so you need to get this clear in your mind that, you know, this is your calling in life. To first of all grow, to inherit this spirit without measure or borrowed part of it, you know. Then secondly, to now use it to fulfill this assignment, you know, which is different from your profession. Your profession is there, which is important in its place because it gives you money to be able to, you know, live a good life. Paul said, you know, let those that are ours, let them practice honest ventures, you know, that they might not be unfruitful. So God knows, you know, he says he doesn't work, shouldn't eat. He wants you to eat. So it gives you, you know, makes you a doctor, makes you an engineer, makes you whatever. So you have a profession you're doing that brings in resources for you to eat, drink, and all of that. But that's not your life. Oh, God have mercy. Yeah, this has been totally misunderstood, you know, mixed up. That's just your what God has made available to be able to supply your need. And he's not even limited to that. He only just does that to give you basic food and raiment. If he really wants to prosper, he's going to take you far beyond that. Are you listening to me? He's going to give you innovation. He's going to give you wisdom for investment. And you know, when he knows he can trust you and the money will not get to your head, you know, then he will now give you that. And he knows that you're going to use majority of that resources to do this job. So that's why some people can go to China, because they can afford it. They don't have to even bother the pastor or the church. They'll just take their private jet and go. Praise the Lord. Ah, you see the amen now. You see our people. Immediately I said private jet, they may call change. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, they'll be able to, they can afford it. And they know that that's why God gave them the private jet. Today he's in Afghanistan, tomorrow he's, you know, he spends 2 months there. You know, he can afford it. He's a multi-billionaire. He can do whatever he, you know, wherever God tells him to go. And he doesn't even have to take permission from the pastor. Yeah, because by the time they grow to that level of maturity, they can hear God themselves. They might inform me just for information's sake. Say, pastor, this is what I believe God is. Where God is. I say, sure, go. I will never say no. If it is to go and do the work of God, of course. See, that's when you have this holistic picture I'm giving you, you begin to understand what you are doing and why you are here. And then you do not make your profession and your life for making money, you know, become the all in all of your life. All of us are called. Let's go back to Romans 15 now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. All of us are called to be a part of this. To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that are not heard shall, you know. And where, you know, I'm going to repeat this and leave this topic. You know, it's not just evangelism. Oh, go get them born again. No, it's teach them. Of course, you cannot teach who you have not evangelized. So evangelism, they go hand in hand. But you see, you can't stop and say, oh, this born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, I've done my job. No, you have not done your job. After you get them born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, we must not teach them to do all, which is love. Teach them how to perfect the love of God. Then help them in it. You know, that's why you're going to use your money. You're going to, you know, buy books or, you know, whatever it's going to take. So that in every tribe and tongue and kindred, we have a company of disciples. You know, and we use Jesus' life and his ministry as the prototype. Jesus went to one nation, Israel, at that time. And he had about 100 men that were a witness to that nation. those 100 men composed of the 12 apostles, then the 70, which is about, 82. I just rounded up to approximately. And then there were others who were not recorded. Like the guy who was healing, casting out devil, and they wanted to stop him. Jesus said, don't stop him. He said, if he's not against us, he's for us. Are you listening to me? So there were others like that. We don't know how many of them. So let me just round up to 100. So if we use that as a proto, as an a prototype, a pattern, you can now say, when we go to every tribe and every tongue and every kindred, we should have at least 100. So I need to have 100 Yoruba disciples. Hello? Who? They're not just, they're born again, their tongue talk is, or that one is normal. But they have to go beyond that. Who have inherited the borrowed anointing? Who heal the sick? Instant. Cleanse lepers? Instant. Raise the dead? Instant. Cast out devils? Instant. And then the other things, intellectual miracles, political miracles, economic, but those will come later. But I must have that. So I shall have that amongst the Yorubas. Then I'll have another 100 among the Igbos. Now I have another 100 among the Efiks. Now I have another 100, at least. I'm talking about at least now. That's what is God's mind. So in every tribe, we're gunning for to make at least 100 disciples. In those tribes, 100 German disciples, 100 Welsh, 100, Scottish, 100 Irish, 100 English. I'm sure we will have more than 100. You see, in some places we'll have more than 100. In some other places we'll have maybe just about that 100. But this must now be duplicated in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. Otherwise, Jesus will not come. I didn't hear amen. That's our assignment. And it cannot be done with the Spirit with measure. The former rain. It has to be done with the former and latter rain together. That's why the former and latter rain is compulsory. There's no way we can close this age with the Spirit with measure. We have to. It can only be done with the Spirit without measure. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're learning, we're praying, we're growing so that we can inherit that. And then, Jesus said so, in a different way. He said, all power, the go ye therefore. In the scripture, the prophetic scriptures tell us, he says, after the glory, he will send you. Not before, after. Even in the first century, he said, although that one was just took them a short time, it was a brand new church. It was born on Easter Sunday. So 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. But within those 50 days, Jesus gave them a 40-day prophetic seminar, teaching them about what was going to come. And he said, the Bible says he was teaching them things concerning the kingdom. And then the Bible tells us, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. He said, don't go yet. Don't move until you be endued with power from on high. He said, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses of me. So the same pattern, except that the only difference between then and now is that what they had then was the earnest, the former rain and the latter rain, because Jesus had he lived a normal life, he would have lived until maybe 140, So he still had 100 years to be able to, where they could, use that borrowed anointing. That's the only way they could do what they did. It took me many years to figure this thing out, of prayer and revelation. And it became, it's clear to me. There is no way Peter, James, John, could have done what we see in the Acts of the Apostles by growth. They didn't have the time. They had only been with Jesus for 3 years. Then they were not born again. They got born again on the day of Pentecost. And within the 2 months, let's just call it 60 days, 50 days to baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then a few days later, you find them healing the sick, at the gate beautiful. Peter's shadow healing people on the streets of Jerusalem. That was not by growth. It was by borrowed anointing. It had to be. There's no way, because they couldn't have grown. They didn't have the time. They had been taught some things, but they hadn't yet grown. He still called them babies. So everything you see here, you know, for these first few years of the church, came firstly by the borrowed anointing. Then they started growing. People like Paul, you know, grew and understood and then penned down the revelation. Then God now gave them that same borrowed anointing. Then they went into all of these different places and got the job done. The whole purpose of all of that was to give us, the end time church, a complete document, the full canon of scripture, so that we could not understand the pattern as I'm teaching it to you now, and then grow and develop and inherit the anointing spirit without measure, the same level. That's why Paul penned it down. You know, he gave apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen to these words very carefully. That we be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's the plan. It's with that, so that what the early church couldn't do, or let me put it in a better way, what the early church could not finish, because they didn't have the full canon of scripture, it was just being written. They didn't have the knowledge and technology of the world that we know today. In those days, you know what they thought the world was? They thought the world was Europe, Asia Minor, you know, Jerusalem, what we call the Middle East today, and the tip of Africa, which was Libya, Egypt, and all of that. That's what they thought the whole world was. That's the world they knew. The New Testament world. They didn't know about Nigeria. They didn't know. They knew Africa, but they didn't know how far south Africa went. They didn't know anything about America at that time. So there was no way the early church could have fulfilled the commission. It was not until now, in the end time. And when did we even get to know the whole world? It was just 1600 and something, 400 or 500 years ago, that, you know, the founding fathers, called Christopher Columbus, 1492, you know, discovered America, and then, you know, and all the other continents, Australia and all of that. It took years, it took centuries, millennia, but now we're ready. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Now we are ready. We now know the whole world. Not only that, we have the technology with aeroplanes and computers and everything. We have what the early church never could have dreamt of. With the technology we have now, but technology alone will not do it. Technology and the spirit without measure. We can now literally go to every tribe, tongue, and kindred on the face of the earth, and make disciples in all of them, in all of those ethnos, in all of those tribes. And it is only then that the end will come. So all the knowledge, technology that we've gotten all these years, is all for a purpose. The Bible says that all things were made by him and for him. It's so that we, the church, can get the job done. Give him another clap offering. And I want to see you excited about playing your part. So you're not going to sit here and sit on a chair and warm a pew the rest of your Christian life. Amen? Oh, I just got a tweet and a fax from heaven. You know, God was talking to me only personally, but it's for all of us. I'm 62 years old now, to the glory of God. Amen? But my life is just starting. Talking about my assignment. And he was just telling me now. He said, you and others like you, not you alone, you know, will be like Joshua and Caleb. You see, you have the younger ones who will be in their 20s, who will be in their 30s, in their 40s, who will go. But you too will go. You'll be like Caleb. You won't say, oh, I'm 80, I can't go. But the Lord was telling me, you know, he was clarifying things to me. He said, you know, he said, you're 60 now. He said, you are about the same age as Joshua was when they started taking the promised land. Joshua was a young man, in his 20s. He was Moses' assistant. He used to sit at the door of the tabernacle when Moses would go and pray. And then, and the young man Joshua departed. So he was in his 20s. But those guys, because of their unbelief, it took 40 years for all that older generation to die. So they did not actually start possessing Jericho. By the time they started possessing the land, Joshua was already in his 60s. And Caleb was in his 80s. So we're going to have the Joshuas. And then we're going to have the Calebs. I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. What are you talking about? You know, I have to say, oh, it's time for you to retire. Retire what? When the job has not been done. No, the next 20, 30 years are going to be used in going to the nations. Amen. And we're going to have the 20-year-olds, we're going to have the 30-year-olds, we're going to have the 40-year-olds, we're going to have the 50-year-olds, we're going to have the 60-year-olds, we're going to have the 70-year-olds, we're going to have the 80-year-olds, we're going to have the 90-year-olds. And at the age of 90, 85, they'll be as strong as the guy who is 40. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I just gave you the picture of your life. This is what it's all about. Every other thing we get is a side issue. The prosperity is just a tool that we're going to use to get this job done. Are you listening to me? All the other things, you know, my PhD, my, you know, Nobel Prize or whatever else I get along the way is only a tool to be able to do this job. Are you listening to me? Education is very important. Get it, you know, get your training, do all of that. But remember, that is not your calling. It's your profession and a tool, an aid that will help you to do the assignment of your calling. I don't know if I've not made myself clear, I don't know what else I can say. Like they say in court, the prosecution rests. Arrest. Let's go back to Romans chapter 15. This stuff is so great. And the Holy Spirit is having me make it clearer and clearer and clearer so that people will have a clear understanding. I'm 62. I'm just starting. All the thing I've been doing is preparation. And there's nowhere I won't go to. My wife and I, there's nowhere we will not go to that God tells us to go to. All the prosperity we're going to get, you know, and we haven't got full prosperity yet. I mean, we've been blessed. Don't misunderstand. You know, food and raiment, a nice house, send your children to good school. That's all. We give God all the glory for that. Amen. But that's not the real prosperity. The real prosperity is going to be in billions and trillions. And it is with that that we can then go anywhere on the face of the earth. Go to Afghanistan, yes, sir. And go tomorrow. I now have to go to British Airways or anybody to go and book a flight. I have my own plane. It will take me exactly where God wants me to go. That's the reason for the private jet, not show off. Give the Lord another clap offering. Okay, let's look at verses 22 to 20. We'll see how far the Holy Spirit helps us. For which cause I have been much hindered from coming unto you. Now, keep it in its context. For which cause? Paul had an assignment, which I have given to us now in great detail. But in those days, it was very limited because the world they knew was a very limited world. So he wanted to go to as many places as he could go, as the resources God gave him would allow him to go. And Rome was one of those places. You know, Paul had never, he went later. You know, but at that time he was writing this letter, he hadn't yet gone to Rome. He said, I'm wanting to come. For which cause? I didn't hear you. I have been much hindered from coming to you. I wanted to come, but I've been busy going to other places. I've gone to Macedonia, I've gone to Asia, I've gone to a lot of other places, you know, and I've been hindered, you know, they've distracted me. Well, it's not really a distraction because it was all part of an assignment, you know. Because I've been going to all these other places, I've not really been able to have the time as well as the resources to come all the way to Rome. But I'm planning to come. This is what he's saying. This is a paraphrase. Olubi Johnson, 21st century paraphrase. You know, I'm planning to come. Not only have I been hindered because I've been busy, I've also been hindered by the devil. You see this in the other parts of the epistles. You know, he says, we wanted to come, but Satan hindered us. Is there? And he's not going to stop doing that, even in our own time today. You want to go somewhere, it will hinder you initially. But if you learn to pray, you'll be able to overcome the hindrance. There is no door that will not open in this end time. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes. That's why we need all the tools, all the doctors and the engineers and everything that we have in the natural, you know, to embellish what we're doing, you know, so that there are places that, some places they will just invite you because you are a PhD in physics. Yes. In addition to having the anointing, you want to listen to what you have to say. So say, oh yeah, come. And then you get there, you do the physics, and then you now bring the gospel. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? For which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, I didn't hear you. Having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years, we don't have a question of many years, to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. I didn't hear you. I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I must somewhat be filled with your company. Let me unravel that. It's old English, you know. I actually did the homework on this when I was preparing for this message, this Bible study over these last few weeks. You know, I went again to get the map. So I now saw where Italy was. Spain is more to the east of Italy. You see, the Italian peninsula comes down like this. Then down here, to the left here, you have Sicily. Then further down here, you have Crete. Some years ago, I took my wife and I, we took the children, you know, went to Crete and, you know, those places. We actually went to some of those places where Paul preached, you know. And then up here to the right, you've got France, Europe, you know, and all of, you know, then you move up to England, Germany, you know, England is further north, Germany and all this. But here you got Spain. So what Paul was saying is this, I'm going to Spain. You know, we don't have any record that he actually was able to finally do that, but it was his plan. I will come through Rome. I will come to Rome. Then from Rome, I will now go to Spain. Then when I'm coming back, I'll come back to Rome and I'm going to spend quite some time with you guys. And we're going to have, you know, nice fellowship together, you know. I'll be first of all filled with your company. Then I will go. Then I will come back on my way there by you. And it says, but now, verse 25, I can't hear you. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. It's good to have purpose for brethren and direction from the Holy Spirit. All this was in his plan. He was going to go to Spain. He was going to go to Rome. He said, but now, what God wants me to do now is, first of all, I have to go back to Jerusalem. I want to go and minister to the poor saints. And listen to what he said. This is one of a great truth of the gospel in verse 27. He said, it had pleased them, verse 26. For it had pleased them, this is the reason why he's going to Jerusalem, of Macedonia and Achaia. Achaia is where Corinth is, you know, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. In other words, the reason why I want to go to Jerusalem now is that my disciples, this is Olubi Johnson paraphrase, my disciples, you know, and my spiritual children in Macedonia, they're all Gentiles. And, you know, that would be Philippi, you know, the Philippians, these are the Corinthians, you know, Achaia. They have put money together. And they want me to go and give it to the saints in Jerusalem who are under, at this time, financial distress. So that's important. I can't just start jump, jumping to Rome and Spain. Let me do this first. Then when I finish this, then I'll come. So this is what he said to them. Then he makes a very important statement in verse 27. He said, it had pleased them verily. He's talking about the Macedonians and the what we, today we will call them the Philippians and the Corinthians. It had pleased them verily. I didn't hear you. And they are Gentiles, they are. This is a spiritual principle. For if, I didn't hear you, the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty. May God understand, help us understand our duty. Their duty is also to minister unto them in what? Carnal things. This is the logic. This is the reasoning. The Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, have now become partakers of the blessings of Abraham and the Jewish nation. So Paul is saying, look, you've partaken of the spiritual benefits that has come through the Jews. They're the oracles, they're the customs of the oracles of God. They are the biological seed of Abraham, and through them Jesus Christ came. And you've now partaken of that because you've accepted Christ, you've now been blessed. He said, it is only logical. You are a debtor. You need of the physical blessings you have now. It is only right for you also to help the Jews financially. So if you have been a partaker of the spiritual blessings that have come through Jesus Christ, blessings of Abraham, the spiritual blessings of Abraham through Jesus Christ that have come to you Gentiles, then it's only right for you Gentiles to take of the physical money that you have and share it with the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he really performed this function. Verse 28. When therefore, I like this man, I have performed this and sealed to them this fruit. He called it fruit. You know, when you give and you give from a heart of love, you know, God sees it as fruit. You see, when I have sealed to them, and it seals a blessing in your life. When I seal to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Which was what I was saying earlier on. He can't go to Spain directly. So he could, but he decided he would go through Rome, Italy. And then, you know, what he would have to do, he would have to sail across the Mediterranean and the Atlantic, and then go across, and then before he goes into Spain. So that was his plan. We don't have any record. I don't know my church history that well, so I cannot say this categorically. But certainly there is no epistle to the Spaniards that I know of. I don't know if Paul ever was able to make this journey. I don't have any record of it. The record I have is the ones of, you know, Macedonia and Rome, because church history tells us. You all know the story. It's in the book of Acts. See, this was Paul's plan, but Satan attacked him. So when he got to Jerusalem, remember what happened? He took a vow. He shaved his head so that they won't say he's not keeping the law of Moses. You know, went to the temple, paid his vows, you know, I'm sure they ministered to the saint. Then this persecution started. This man, he brought these Gentiles, which is a lie. He didn't bring any Gentiles to the temple. Then they wanted to kill him. Then the Roman centurion had to rescue him. They carried him, you know, with the Roman soldiers carried him. And that's why God still uses governments to protect his people. I didn't hear amen. You see the pattern in Paul, you know. And rescued Paul. He didn't know who Paul was. He thought he was just one ragamuffin, you know, was causing trouble. When Paul began to speak to him in Greek and Latin, he said, I'm a Roman citizen, you know. You can't just go ahead and start. The man said, are you a Roman citizen? So he got to know who he was, you know. Then they treated him with such honor and respect, you know. Then the Jews now put people together. They made a vow that they would not eat until they had killed Paul. God allowed that information to filter out to Paul through his his nephew, you know, his sister's son. That one came to the palace of the Roman centurion and said, they want to kill this man. Don't listen. They'll tell you tomorrow that they want to hear something from him. Don't let them go. They're going to rush him and try and kill him. The minute the centurion hears that thing, he tells his boss, they said, get 70 soldiers. That night, that very night, let them escort Paul on horseback. And they took him out without anybody knowing. That very night, they took him out of Jerusalem, you know, and took him on to Caesarea, you know. And then, you know, they now came the next day. They came and they began to debate and said, this Paul, he has done this, he has done between before Festus and Felix and Agrippa. You know, that's how the story goes. You know, and then, you know, Paul, when he saw, you know, Paul defended himself. And Agrippa and Festus, Agrippa said, you know, this man has not done anything. It's just a question of their superstitions. And all. In fact, by the time Paul finished talking, Agrippa said, Paul, you've almost convinced me to become a Christian. Give the Apostle Paul a clap offering, somebody. Ah! What a great man. He broke the thing down, line upon line, precept upon precept. Agrippa was so impressed. And he said, we should free him. Then, Festus, the Roman governor, because of money, the Jews had gone to see him in the Nigerian way. They went to Olori. You know, they passed. He said, willing to do them a favor. He said, will you go back to Jerusalem to defend yourself concerning these matters? Paul knew it was a trap. Because had he gone back to Jerusalem, they would have tried to kill him. So Paul said, no! I'm not going back to Jerusalem. I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. You know, the man was a lawyer. Give him another clap offering. He knew his legal right. Where I should be judged, he said, I appeal to Caesar. So, the governor said, well, okay, if you appeal to Caesar, then to Rome you will go. And go and defend yourself in Rome. That was how all these plans were scuttled. Because what happened then was that Paul now had to take the journey to Rome under guard of a Roman centurion and soldiers. They treated him with a lot of respect and honor. Then we know how it happened. The boat went on a shipwreck. It was, you know, marooned in Malta. Then, you know, they had to spend like a month there, you know. And then finally, they've now got to Rome. So it was at Rome, the Jews came, he talked to them, he lived in Ohio for 2 years. Then, that's where the Acts of the Apostle ends. Church history tells us that this is what happened. After he'd done all of that, you know, and defended himself and taught and all of that, you know, this emperor, this crazy emperor called Nero, was the emperor in Rome at that time. And Rome burned and all, and then they blamed it on the Christians. And church history tells us, we don't know, we'll know the Jesus when we get to heaven, that what happened was that Nero, when he first appeared before Nero, he defended himself, there was no problem. And he was taken back into custody, given his freedom to some degree, you know. Then he called him a second time. This time Nero was mad. And Nero now killed Paul. So, as far as I know, I could be wrong, he was never able to make this journey to Spain, which was his plan. His plan was go to Rome, not through Caesar and all of this. He wasn't planning to go through the Roman Empire. It was just his normal missionary journey. But that didn't happen because he was arrested, you know, and saved from the machinations of the Jews, you know. So he didn't go to Rome the way he planned. So he could not have gone on to Spain because he was under the arrest, the custody of the Roman government, you know. And I believe that's what really happened in history, you know. So let's finish this now. He says, and we'll take this in our next lesson. He says, and when I've performed this seal, and sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into that. This was his plan. It never happened as far as I know, you know. And I'm sure, I'm going to stop with this, you know, this morning, and we'll take it up from here in my next lesson. And I am sure I like this man. He was a man of faith. I am sure. How many people are sure here? Give me a wave offering if you are sure. I don't think you are sure. Say, I am sure that when I come unto you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, what is the fullness, blessing of the gospel of Christ? Ask them. I'll give you the answer. Come to church next Sunday. Stand to your feet. You know, there are some statements inside this Bible that we have never explored. What is the fullness? Now, we know he didn't do it because he was arrested and all of that. You know, but what did he have? What was the revelation in his heart? What was the Holy Spirit showing him? You see, that's our own privilege in this end time. Sarah Johnson, you are going to live the rest of your days between now and when Jesus comes in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. You see, I'm giving that blessing to my wife, especially this morning. I'm telling you, nobody knows what it means. The earth has never seen it. Everybody repeat it. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Come next Sunday. It's already in my notes. But my note is not electronic. You can't see it. Lau, look, I'll steal my note. And just when they are carrying my bag for me, let's see that blessing. They can't see it. Only me has access to it now, for now. But you come next week, you will get it. In Jesus' name. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God, folks. You know, we've said a lot of things today, but I think the most important thing, God had me redo it again today with even greater clarity, is to make a distinction between your profession and your calling. All of us are called, folks. And you need to start preparing yourself. That's why, stay in good health. By the grace and the mercy of God, I'm 62 years old. I still exercise every day. I did it this morning. I've learned to even exercise while I'm praying. When I'm praying, I'm exercising. You can't give God any excuse. So I'll be strong and I'll be healthy. So if I need to fly to Afghanistan, I can. And then the next day, go to Paris. And then the next day, go to Germany or wherever. And go and make disciples. All of us are called. Are you listening to me, folks? All of us are called. Let's start talking to God. Bow your head. Start talking to God in your heart. We're all going to pray together in a minute. Just say, Lord, I'm going to fulfill my calling and my assignment. See, I cannot fulfill the assignment without fulfilling the calling. The calling will give me the spirit without measure. It is the spirit without measure which I'll use to fulfill the assignment. My profession is just to give me the tools, financial, social, and all of that, to be able to fulfill my assignment. It is not my assignment. You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord.
You are the Lord
of heaven and earth. You're the Son.
You're the Son of righteousness.
Angels.
Angels bow down before you.
They worship.
You are Jesus.
Wrong song. There was another song in my heart, and I picked that one.
Lift up your head.
That's the song.
Lift up your head.
The coming. You see, he's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. Lift those hands, everybody.
Before him and adore him, say hallelujah
to
your majesty, to your majesty. Our praises be
your
grand
hands. Glory to God. To the coming King. Glory to God. Bow before him.
And adore him. Say hallelujah.
To your majesty, praises
pure and holy.
Giving glory to the King.
Lift up your hands one last time. Glory to God. Your heart, raise your other hand to God.
It says, lift up your hands to the coming King.
We have only one assignment on this earth, to bring our King back. Yes. Everything I have, my education, my training, my finances, everything is geared to that one assignment. Preach the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, the complete thing. To all tribes and tongues, make disciples in all of them so that the King can come. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I receive mercy, your blood to cleanse our sins from all unrighteousness, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and power as we pray. Father! Thank you for again today making it clear what my calling and my assignment in this life is. I also thank you for my profession. I thank you for my education. I thank you for my training. I thank you for my finances. I thank you for the blessings you've given me. But I understand it's all for one purpose, to enable me to fulfill my assignment and to fulfill my calling. Oh God, help me not to lose focus. Help me, Lord, to stay focused like the Lord Jesus stayed focused. Even though he was a carpenter, he did not allow carpentry to divert him from his calling. Father, I understand that my calling is to grow spiritually into Christ in all things, to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so to inherit the same spirit without measure that was upon him, that will enable me to instantly, on a consistent basis, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead, so I can take this gospel of the kingdom to all nations, tribes of the world, and so that the king can return. Father, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, so that I will not be distracted from my purpose, from my assignment. I thank you for all your blessings, and I covenant with you today that I will not allow my blessings and my profession to distract me from my calling, so I will be able to fulfill my calling, and you will be able to return as quickly as possible, so that we can redeem the time, the years, because the days are evil. So we can cut short the number of years it's going to take you to come back, to reduce human suffering. Father, help me in Jesus' name. Nikatolo mashala preketo fresk. Librini katoske fredengara. Mercy, Father. Lipriketoske fredek. Loprini kask. Ramange reketoska. Mercy, Father. Salaprikitolo mosheka klamatolo matu fredes. Mercy, Father. Selebiki klamatolo matu fredo klamatolo matu fres. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lapriketolo matu fredes. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you. Zeliketolo matu fredes. For your blood. Zelika kakufrenengarask. For your life. Zelika kakuklamatu freshe. For your power, neka tolo mshito fre, lombriki to fre, lombriki tuske fridi, relashka, labrika tolo, jelika koko fride, klamato fredeka, sa, tolo mdo klamato tolo mdo fredo fredo fre, jelika do fredes, tolo mdo fredes, tolo mdo fre, nushko fride ingask. In Jesus' name, if you need healing for your body, and this is the reason why God wants you healed, so you'll be strong and healthy to do your assignment. Can't do your assignment if you're sick or you're weakly. He said, for this cause, and it's sad, it's not the will of God. He said, many are weak, many are sickly, and sadly, some die. But that's not your portion in Jesus' name. So you, if you need healing now, just raise your hand. If you're watching at home, just stretch forth your hands towards your device. Father, we release your healing virtue unto everyone under the sound of my voice. The Bible says you sent your word and healed them and deliver them from their destruction. We release that healing power now in Jesus' name. And we come against every spirit of depression, every spirit of oppression, oppressing the souls, bodies, and the circumstances of your people. We cast you out. We destroy your works. Release now. We bind you in Jesus' name. And under your breath, just say, I receive my healing and I receive my deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Wait, just a minute. I just got a tweet. And when I get it like that, I like to deliver it. You know, God told me, he said, Paul couldn't go to Spain, but you will. Amen. The early church had their limitations. There was limitations of knowledge. There was limitation of technology. And ultimately, there was limitation of anointing. Because after some years, that borrowed anointing ran out. And they had to grow by themselves. He said, but you will go. And then you know what he told me? He said, that is the reason. Honey, listen to this. Pastor G, listen to this. That is the reason why the glory of the latter house must be greater than that of the former. The Lord bless you. Mm-hmm.